The scripture for our message this morning comes from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there with us this morning as we seek God's truth together. So again, Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the witness of Scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, open our hearts and minds to receive what you want to share with us and help us in turn to share it with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Is your family a little crazy? Maybe a lot of crazy? Maybe they're fun to be around, or maybe you avoid them at all cost. No matter how much you may love or despise your family, one thing's for certain: no family's perfect. And that's because they're made up of imperfect people like you and me. See, that's how I know that the Bible is real. Because the people and families that we read about in the pages of Scripture, they're messy and imperfect just like us. You know, if this was simply some made-up story meant to make certain people look better than others, we wouldn't be reading about all of their sins, imperfections, and failures. We'd just be reading about perfect people doing perfect things all the time. And that's definitely not what we find when we open God's Word. We know that the Bible is real because it depicts people and situations as they really are in the real world in which we live. And because it does, we're able to find our place in this story too. And as we do, we find that the same God who blessed and loved imperfect people then continues to bless and love imperfect people now. Today we're going to see how God chose to do something amazing through an imperfect family. And as we do, we'll see how God can continue to do amazing things through imperfect people today. Because in spite of all of our imperfections, our limitations, failures, and sins, God still loves us and wants us to be part of His family. Now, turning our minds to today's scripture out of Genesis 18, the Bible introduces us to Abraham and Sarah, and they play an important role in the history of our faith. If we go all the way back to Genesis 18, we can hear God speaking to Abraham for the first time, where he says this: "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." Now, after hearing this incredibly amazing promise, Abraham does as God commands and remains faithful in spite of all sorts of challenges and trials that come his way. And along that way, he and Sarah also amass a great fortune and take ownership over large pieces of land. But there is a problem. A problem that kept gnawing away at Abraham and Sarah. You see, in spite of their success and their spiritual favor, they didn't have any children. And at this time and at this place, it was really important to have children and heirs so that your family legacy, your family name could continue. However, because of their advanced age, Abraham and Sarah had resigned themselves to a childless fate. They knew that their legacy would end with them. Yet in the midst of this hopelessness, God shares some amazing and unbelievable news. In Genesis 15, God tells Abraham that he won't just have one offspring, but that he'll have an infinite number of sons and daughters. And not only that, but God promised Abraham that he and his family would have a safe and a prosperous land to live in. But this promise would take some time. And before long, Abraham and Sarah were tired of waiting. So Abraham tries his luck with Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian slave, and she becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, Ishmael. However, this arrangement turns toxic very, very quickly, ruining all sorts of relationships along the way. Even so, God remained faithful to Abraham and Sarah, and he called them to patience as they waited for the impossible to happen. At times, Abraham laughed in God's face when reminded of this promise, saying in chapter 17, verse 17, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Abraham, as we know, had a tremendous faith, but even his faith had its limits. He was sure that somehow, some way, God was going to fulfill his promises. But Abraham still wasn't exactly sure that everything was going to happen as planned. Now, all of that leads us to our scripture today out of Genesis 18, where God arrives to confirm this unlikely promise one more time, yet this time, in a most unlikely and unusual way. Chapter 18 begins by saying that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the heat of the day as Abraham was sitting inside the door of his tent. And as Abraham looked up, suddenly there were three men standing before him. One was God, and the other two were angels. And they'd come to pay this imperfect family an unexpected visit. On this hot, sweltering day, Abraham moves with purpose to provide his guest with what they need, because he knows immediately how unusual this visit is and that it probably won't last very long. So he enlists his wife Sarah to help with all the preparations, but he fails to mention to her who their guests really were. As God and these angels enjoy this delicious meal, their real reason for dropping by soon becomes apparent. Listen again to verses 9 through 15. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "Well, there in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. God hadn't dropped by to pay Abraham a visit. They'd already spoken many times before. No, this visit was for Sarah. And even though she remained out of sight from these important guests, she was the one that they were really speaking to when they were speaking to Abraham. After hearing that these guests would return in a year's time and that she will have given birth by then, Sarah thinks to herself, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. What a joke. Now, in this day and time, she would have been accustomed to keeping her thoughts to herself. So in this passage of Scripture, it's important for us to realize that Sarah didn't say these things out loud. She kept all of this within. So you can imagine her complete surprise when God stops the conversation and says, why did Sarah just laugh and say those things? It was at this moment that Sarah finally realized who this guest was. And when she did, she was terrified. I didn't laugh, she said. But there's no point in denying it. She knew that God knew what she had said to herself. But God didn't mind. After all, Sarah's skepticism wasn't a sign of unbelief, but rather a natural reaction to hearing news too incredible and impossible to be true. So God welcomed her mocking voice because he loved proving people wrong then, just like he loves proving people wrong now. This is evidenced by the follow-up question, is anything too hard for the Lord? For which the answer is always, absolutely not. You know, if God were looking for the perfect family through which to bless the entire world, Abraham and Sarah weren't it. They were old. They didn't have kids. They were impatient, as evidenced by their arrangement with Hagar. And even now, all these years later, they still weren't entirely convinced that they'd actually be able to have children of their own. Yet in spite of these challenges, in spite of the impossible and likely things that they'd been told were going to happen, they never lost their faith in God. And God never lost his faith in them. See, our God is the God of second chances. Once we place our faith in him, he'll never leave us or forsake us no matter what. So when we stumble and fall, he's always there to pick us up. When we struggle with doubt, he's always there to comfort and reassure us. And when we stray off the path he has set before us, he's always quick to get us back on track. Thankfully, we don't have to be perfect on our own in order for God to love us. If that was our requirement, then none of us would be loved because perfection apart from God is impossible. Instead, God invites and welcomes all kinds of people into his holy family because he knows that the closer we get to him, the better off we'll all be. And as wonderful as it is to be part of God's family, though, it also comes with some enormous expectations. Because make no mistake about it, the promises made to Abraham weren't just promises about children and land, they were promises about blessings. Blessings which he and his children were called to share with the world on God's behalf. Think back to God's covenant promises when he told Abraham, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. How will Abraham's family be this blessing? How will they live out this covenant relationship? By simply existing, by being some sort of royal family whose very nature and presence will inspire the huddled masses before them? No, not at all. For Abraham's children to experience the blessings of this covenant relationship with God, they'd have to keep the faith and be a blessing to those around them. You know, the world that we're called to love and engage with isn't perfect. But then again, neither are we, right? And neither is our family of faith. Abraham and Sarah were not the ideal vessels for God's love back then. And we're certainly not the ideal vessels for God's love today. But you know, we don't live in a world of ideals, do we? We live in a real world full of real people with all sorts of messy problems. But we also live in a world where a real and holy God sees all that and chooses to love us anyway. See, God knew all about Abraham and Sarah's shortcomings in advance. He knew that they were old, impatient, and prone to make bad choices from time to time. But God also knew that these people had potential. And if they believed and kept on believing, they'd be able to share God's great love with the entire world. That's what kept Abraham and Sarah laughing each time God told them his plans. They couldn't believe that of all people, they were the ones set apart for this task, that they could be used for something incredible like this. And despite their faith, which was immeasurable, they had trouble picturing a world where these things were really going to come true, where they could be used and blessed in such a way as this. But come true, they did. Because even though we might not share biological ancestry with Abraham and Sarah, they are in many ways our spiritual parents. And because of their faithfulness and because of how they persevered in spite of so many adversities, we're able to claim and live out our faith today. And as we live it out and invite others to join this family that we've all joined into, let's remember that perfection isn't a prerequisite. You know, it's easy to see that we live in a world today where we're constantly writing people off because they're not perfect, because they fail to meet our lofty expectations. Unfortunately, lots of Christians and churches are guilty of doing this too. And I bet it that if we'd had our way all those years ago, imperfect people like Abraham and Sarah would have never played a part in God's plan for our world. We probably would have found a young, respectable man with a good wife, some well-behaved kids, and an upstanding reputation. That would have been our man. But it wouldn't have been God's. Friends, we've got to stop writing people off because of their imperfections. No one's perfect. And our judging isn't going to make anyone better. Instead, we've got to accept and love the imperfect people that God has placed in our life and the imperfect people that God may be raising up to lead his church and share his love. And yes, it's not lost on me how absurd it sounds to be advocating for imperfect people to lead God's church. But imperfect people are all we have. There's no ideal person just waiting to be called on for each and every little thing. They simply don't exist. All we have are each other. And you know what? That's enough for God. Because if God could work through Abraham and Sarah, if he could work through Moses, if he could work through Peter, Paul, and countless other imperfect men and women throughout history, then who's to say that he can't work through us? Friends, if we step out on faith and say yes to God, he's going to do so many amazing, absurd, and ridiculous things through us that we're going to be laughing and shaking our heads just like Sarah did. So as we wrap up today, let's remember that our family of faith's never been perfect, and it never will be. But we have a good, good Father who loves all of his children. The saints, the sinners, and even the screw-ups. And if we keep believing in him, there's always going to be a place for us in his family, no matter what. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your faith in us, and help us to have faith in you, even when you promise to do amazing, incredible, and unbelievable things. And help us to see others as you see them, and to love each other as you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.